Good day. This is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, December 17th, 2024. And we'll start with the commercial news on the front page today. Our first story is titled, Danville Library Makes Strides Toward Inclusivity. And this is a staff report. The Danville Public Library continues to make strides in inclusivity with its new sensory corner, creating a welcoming environment for children with sensory needs. With the help of the Halloran Family Foundation and Solgood Incorporated, the library's sensory corner can meet the needs of its youngest patrons. In addition, library staff members have completed specialized training through Culture City to learn more about sensory needs and how to respond to those needs. The certification process entailed the staff at the library being trained by leading medical and neurodivergent professionals on how to recognize guests with sensory needs and how to handle a sensory overload situation. As I sat in on a recent workshop, I learned something that deeply resonated with me. The high number of children who face the impact of adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, said Brittany Ziegler, children's specialist at the library. This was an eye-opening moment, and it got me thinking about what we, as a library, could do better to serve children who are dealing with the effects of trauma, stress, or sensory processing challenges. When I asked the workshop instructor what libraries could do to support these children, she offered simple yet profound advice. Provide the setting. I realized that our library could be a safe space, a place where children could find comfort, support, and the opportunity to engage with their surroundings in a way that works for them. Ziegler began researching how to provide opportunities to children with sensory needs. I discovered Culture City, an organization dedicated to making public spaces more inclusive by offering sensory certification, she said. This organization is passionate about helping libraries and other public spaces become sensory friendly. They provide valuable training to staff on how to recognize and accommodate the needs of individuals who may require sensory support, whether due to sensory processing needs, PTSD, or general stress. Culture City sent bags that have all of your sensory inclusive needs in them, said Brooke Trishelli, the library's director of communications. There are noise-canceling headphones, fidget toys, even sunglasses for if the lights are too bright. The bags can be checked out to be used in the library. Patrons can also find verbal cue cards to assist in communicating their needs and weighted lap pads available at the library to help those who may feel overwhelmed by the environment. In the children's area, there are different signs on the wall to help to regulate things like breathing and to help children calm down or focus, Trishelli said. We also have mats on the floor that connect and have different textures and designs. Children like the feel of it. They like playing with the patterns. Trishelli said the library staff's favorite addition is a bubble tower found in the corner of the children's wing. It lights up and gradually changes colors, and the bubbles float up and down, she said. It really is calming to watch. She said the sensory corner is rather popular with the library's patrons. Throughout the library, visitors can find new signage to direct them to quiet areas, Trishelli said. Culture City also provides the library with an app for patrons to use. With the app, families are able to see what the space looks like and what they can expect when they come here, she said. The library learned about Culture City through the Indianapolis Zoo in Indiana. The zoo provides areas for those with sensory needs so that they can enjoy the zoo. According to a news release from Culture City, sensory sensitivities or challenges with sensory regulation are often experienced by individuals with autism, dementia, PTSD, and other similar conditions. Age is no factor in this. Individuals might become overwhelmed from the crowds, lights, sounds, smells, or other external stimuli at Danville Public Library. With its new certification, the Danville Public Library is now better prepared to assist guests with sensory sensitivities in having the most comfortable and accommodating experience possible when attending any event at the library. Empowering communities through inclusion and innovation, Danville Public Library is aligned with the same visionary spirit as Culture City and is championing a world where every individual, regardless of ability, is not just accepted but celebrated for their unique contributions to the tapestry of humanity. Uma Srivastana, Executive Director of Culture City. And our other front page item from the commercial news today is titled, City Seeks to Bring Angel Art to Downtown Alleyways. And this is a staff report. The City of Danville has announced a new initiative aimed at bringing vibrant public art to the alleyways of downtown Danville. In alignment with the Downtown Revitalization Plan, the project seeks to increase foot traffic, elevate the cultural landscape, and enhance the aesthetic appeal of the area, a news release states. Art is integral to a meaningful life, and through this collaborative effort, we hope to foster a deeper connection within the community, improving the well-being of all who live, work, and play in Danville, and contribute to the continued growth of our vibrant downtown. The City of Danville is now accepting artist portfolios for Angel Alley, which invites artists and graphic designers to submit their ideas for a transformative public art project. Applications are available on the City of Danville website at www.cityofdanville.org/formcenter/angelalley-applicants. Angel Alley portfolio submission guidelines are as follows. Design theme. Artists may submit up to 3 unique designs that incorporate wings, angel wings, butterfly wings, bird wings, etc., as the central theme of the artwork. Outdoor experience. If the artist has previous experience working on outdoor murals or public art installations, please include images of past projects along with a rough estimate of the project's size and scope. Design size. Specify the size of the proposed artwork to ensure it is suitable for the chosen installation space. Project involvement. Indicate whether you are interested in submitting a design only, or if you are also willing to complete the entire project, including the installation. Diversity. The city encourages submissions that reflect a diversity of perspectives in both the art itself and the selection of artists. Integrity and longevity. The design and materials must be suitable for long-term outdoor display and must withstand weather elements. The City of Danville may request modifications to ensure durability. The project is open to all professional and emerging artists, with preference given to Danville-based or regional artists. All portfolios must be submitted by February 14, 2025. For more information, please contact Rihanna Alas, Community Relations Administrator, at Rollis, that's R-O-L-L-I-S, at cityofdanville.org, or by calling 217-431-2879. And we're going to move over now to the News Gazette for a story titled Fletcher Family's Impact Far Wide, DACC Interim President's First Day. And this story is by Jennifer Bailey. Oakwood. Fletcher family matriarch Sue admits she can't keep a secret, and it's known all too well by her children. When her son, Randy, started talks about coming back to this area from Florida to take an interim president job at Danville Area Community College, he was hesitant to make a full family announcement. "He didn't tell me," Sue said about any early indications. She said when he started saying, "I think it's a deal, Mom, and he'll be signing a contract," she was surprised. "I was really shocked. It was really good," she said. Her son was coming back home. "He needs to be around here, I think," she said. As a mother who raised three children with her husband, each with their own interests and skills, Sue Fletcher said their life has been full of great adventures. "I was blessed," she said about watching her kids, Randy, Darren, and Allison, grow up. "My husband and I enjoyed being parents." She said they raised their children all alike, but each of her children were different and had different ideas of what life was about. Sue reminisced about her family as son Randy takes over as interim president at Danville Area Community College today, where both of them worked. "Randy has always been the one who loved school," Sue said. "It took him 18 years to get his PhD, but he never stopped." Former Major League Baseball player Darren was born with the ability to be a great athlete, Sue said. "Darren was born with a bunch of skills that enabled him to become a professional baseball player," she said. Sue's husband, Thomas, who died in 2018, also was a great baseball player. He was a pitcher at the University of Illinois and played with the Detroit Tigers. He had followed his father into professional baseball. Daughter Allison started in accounting early on, was a great accountant, and is now a chief financial officer, Sue said. "We built a small home in the country, an A-frame. We loved the outdoors," Sue said. Living in Oakwood, the Fletchers were able to participate in athletics and everything they wanted to be involved in. They had cousins who lived next door, so they've been a tight-knit family. The kids were outside all the time. They did a lot of outside playing, Sue said. She said, reflecting on the years, it was fast. All of a sudden, they're in college and gone. "We were very busy just doing activities," she said. They never seemed to get into trouble. Darren and his family live in rural Newtown, Oakwood Township. Allison lives near her husband's family in Springfield. And Randy initially will be staying with his mom until he finds a home upon his arrival back to the area from Florida, where he now lives with his family. "You have a piece of pie, and each child gets a piece. They have to choose what they're going to do," Sue added. She said Randy has been in Joliet, Bloomington, and Satellite Beach, Florida. "You don't know what places are best for kids," Sue said. "It's wonderful he's coming back." Randy formerly worked at DACC, too, where Sue also has ties. She worked as literacy coordinator at DACC. She ended up retiring as the second director of the Oakwood Public Library in 2004. Sue said she's excited for Randy to be back at DACC. "I think it will be a great fit," she said. She said she worked with Dave Keitzman, former executive vice president of instruction and student services, and made a lot of friends there. While many have since retired, Randy still knows quite a few people there. This will be a new chapter for the college. "I think they need a lot of his new ideas," Sue said. She said Randy focuses on the importance of the students. Randy said their mom is the rock of their family. "She's a strong lady. She has always been the foundation of our loving family," he said. He says she was content staying in the shadows during his dad's and brother's sports fame. Randy, too, said they were a very close family growing up, with cousins living next door and being among his best friends. Some of his fondest memories are of them being outside and playing sports. Most weekends they were playing ball. The family would have some fun road trips, such as to see their grandparents in Clearwater Beach, Florida, and on other adventures. Randy said his parents loved to travel, with a lot of the travel revolving around sports. "It was a very carefree upbringing," Randy said, "of the woods, bicycling, and very idyllic setting. Everybody was watching us," he said of his relatives. "It was multi-generational. It took a village. We truly had a village that took care of us and made us the people we are today." He said his loving family made sure they reached for their dreams and goals. Darren knew from a young age what he wanted to do. He was good in a variety of sports, but baseball took the spotlight. "He just always had that athletic swagger," Randy said. "If he could square up a bullet, he'd hit it." Randy said older brother Darren wasn't over the top with it. "I encouraged him, and I was his biggest fan," Randy added, saying that he remembers being with him when Darren was negotiating in the 1980s with the Toronto Blue Jays. "He always included me in this whirlwind he went through," Randy said. Growing up, they would throw batting practice and Randy would catch. Their dad was there too, giving advice. Randy said their dad was a guiding force. "Their mom is the most optimistic person he's ever met," he added. "She's a ray of sunshine. They balanced each other," Randy said. Randy has kept in touch with many people from Vermilion County through his education career. He's friends still today with many classmates from his childhood. Randy knew in high school he wanted to be an academic. "I just focused on my education," he said, adding that he knew when sports would be over with, it was done. Randy said he's excited about his first day as DACC interim president. "I'm looking forward to being on campus and seeing what has changed over the last 15 years," he said. He's excited to see the Mary Miller Gym additions, Hegler Hall, and all the other enhancements. "Meeting with the faculty and staff is paramount to me," he said. "The college's winter break will be starting, but he will hit the ground running as much as he can and into the new year. He will get reacquainted with employees he's worked with, in addition to meeting all the staff and meeting with the cabinet, vice presidents, and board. He anticipates doing a lot of listening and reading initially. He will be planning for Thursday's board meeting and making sure he has a clear understanding of DACC's budget and strategic plan. He thinks he and Provost and Vice President of Academic and Student Affairs Carl Bridges will work well together. Early next year, Randy also will be taking part in a Higher Learning Commission workshop event. To celebrate Randy Fletcher's return, DACC will host a welcome reception from 3 to 5 p.m. Thursday. The event will be in Vermilion Hall, room 306, and all faculty, staff, students, and community members are invited to attend to hear about his vision for DACC and share in welcoming him back to Vermilion County. Randy Fletcher holds a doctorate in education from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. His leadership is built on years of experience in higher education with a strong focus on student success, workforce development, and innovation. DACC is my home community college, and I take the responsibility of serving as president very seriously, he said. I'm looking forward to reconnecting with the DACC family and working together to build on its proud history and service and success. And there are no obituaries today to read, so we will instead continue on with some other local news. This also from the News Gazette, and it's just titled Vermilion County 217-466 Tips by the News Gazette. Danville. Vermilion County Crime Stoppers is seeking the public's help with an incident being investigated as a homicide. Officers responded to 1800 East Main Street around 9:30 p.m. December 4th to find a 67-year-old woman, later identified as Wendy L. Judd, unresponsive. She was transported to a local hospital where she was later pronounced dead. Police originally described unexplained trauma to the victim's body, but later announced the incident was being investigated as a shooting. Danville police are requesting any information that may lead to an arrest in this incident with a cash reward of up to $1,000. Anyone who can identify either suspect caught in security camera footage is encouraged to contact Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-373-TIPS, vccrimestoppers.org, or via the P3 Tips mobile app. Tipsters are always 100% anonymous when contacting Crime Stoppers and receive a code number to check on rewards. All tips submitted to Crime Stoppers are electronically stripped of any personally identifying information and processed by a third-party answering service. Tipsters could receive a cash reward of up to $1,000 for information leading to an arrest and do not have to share their name or appear in court. Rewards are also paid for information on other felony crimes or fugitives in Vermilion County. And returning to the commercial news, we have an editorial from the opinion pages titled Shelter, a Critical Need. Winter officially starts Sunday, but snow and bone-chilling winds have already arrived in the area a couple of times. The cold only causes greater problems for those without suitable housing. Members of the Danville City Council's Public Works Committee recently approved a plan to spend $60,000 in community development block grant funds to help provide shelter for those without none. Logan Kronk, the city's community development director, said a couple of projects have been identified and could be in line for assistance. The need for shelter in Vermilion County continues to grow. The closing earlier this year of the Men's Rescue Mission and the Day Spring Women's Shelter associated with it left few options for those seeking a warm place out of the cold. The new owners of the 57-unit New Holland Apartments on the North Vermilion Street added to the demand for temporary housing when they decided all of the tenants had to leave. Most were able to find new housing, but more than a few found themselves facing the possibility of homelessness. The options for those without housing remain few in Vermilion County. Crosspoint, on Hazel Street, operates a domestic violence shelter for women and children trying to escape abuse, along with a transitional shelter where women and children can live for up to a year as they rebuild their lives. Both programs tend to be full most of the time. The dwelling place oversees two houses used as family shelters. Both of those facilities usually stay busy as well. Other organizations and churches provide temporary housing in local motels when possible, but limited funds usually disappear long before the demand for assistance can be met. If the full city council agrees to spend money to assist the county's homeless, they will join their counterparts in Decatur, Champaign, and Urbana in recognizing local government does play a role in providing services to all residents, even those who find themselves living in their vehicles or in the streets. Many of those looking for safe housing find themselves in such a situation through no fault of their own. An extended illness can lead to the loss of a job, which means they can't pay rent. Family issues cause others to go out on their own without resources. Drug and alcohol addictions continue to create victims day after day. When safe housing isn't available, those with no place else to go find anywhere they can for shelter. City firefighters continue to answer alarms to empty houses with no utilities in service. Those fires can be caused by squatters looking for a place out of the cold, not intentionally, but as a result of their desperation. The situation creates health and safety hazards, not just for those without housing, but for residents who live near those empty buildings as well. City Council members should approve the proposed expenditure to support projects that aid the homeless, and they should consider crafting a long-term plan to help reduce the severity of the problem. Next, from the local pages, we have a staff report titled, "Frigid Weekend Temps Make Fighting Fire Difficult. Unoccupied Home Destroyed by Fire." And this is a staff report. The Danville Fire Department responded to a structure fire Friday, December 13th, finding the home fully engulfed in flames. Units responded to the 600 block of East Seminary at 2:34 a.m. The two-story wood-framed home was not in normal use and was boarded up. Fire Chief Aaron Marcotte said multiple hand lines were used to combat the fire. Frigid temperatures made fighting the fire difficult. Out of an abundance of caution, the decision was made by fire command to level the building due to the amount of damage that had been done to the home by the fire, Marcotte said. Owens Excavating was brought in to assist firefighters. The cause of the fire is undetermined and under investigation. Fire units cleared the scene at 6:53 a.m. No injuries were reported, and there were no working smoke detectors present. The estimated loss was $28,250, according to the fire department. Ameren, Illinois, assisted at the scene. And finally, from Community Briefs, the Batestown United Methodist Church will have a cookie walk December 21st from 9 to 11 a.m. at the church at 2224 Batesville Road. The event will feature pick and choose cookies for $5 a pound, as well as coffee or hot chocolate and a baked cookie for a donation. And that takes us to the end of our time for this Tuesday, December 17th, 2024. Again, my name is Greg, and I wish you a splendid day. Take care.